Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we're very glad that we can sing this song concerning the personal presence of our great God and Savior who inhabited the form of Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us, who at that wedding of Cana turned the water into wine, making all things possible, even as Brother Branham said that he could have taken the water and put it through the ground, through the seed of the grape, into the grape, and then that would have gone into wine, but he bypassed it. And Lord, this morning that we know there's going to be a bypass for some people standing right here. They shall not taste death and come forth in a resurrection, but Lord, they shall be in the resurrection completely changed without having gone through it, but having bypassed it. And that's our hope this morning, Lord. We thank you for that great hope, but we know above all that there is no bypassing this word, for without being in the message, there is no eternal life. For the same prophet vindicated said, there is no life outside of this word. There is no word that will come to life outside of this word. So, Father, this morning we stand in your presence knowing that all the things which cannot be done will be done. And those things, because you have reserved to yourself a time and a place to do them, man hasn't got a thing to do with it, but just be a participant by faith. And we thank you for that this morning, Lord, as we study your word. We know it shall do us good and build us up in the most holy faith, taking us right into the resurrection and rapture. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're continuing in covenants number 11. And last Sunday when dealing with covenants number 10, we noted and quoted Brother Branham, who said that since Jesus was given a spirit body or a theophonic form, wherein we weren't given one, we bypassed that particular body form that Jesus had. We therefore have no remembrance of that particular period of time, which you would call before the foundation of the world, but Jesus did have that ability. Now, in my opinion, what Brother Branham brought us, especially in Who is Melchizedek, and then took us into the future home, as we studied here, of course, he dealt in a measure with our pre-spirit or flesh body period of time, which he said mysteries which were not known from before the foundation of the world. Now, as I mentioned, we quoted him last Sunday concerning the fact that he said, we bypassed that body, therefore have no remembrance, but Jesus did not bypass it, and he did have remembrance, but we never did actually bring until this minute the quotation that I just gave you, where Brother Branham said, just think under the seven seals, we now have had revealed to us those mysteries which were not known from before the foundation of the world. Now, those mysteries, in part at least, as I see it, are actually covenant promises of God that extended toward us while we were yet, as stated by Paul, in Christ. Now, hold that in mind as we go to Ephesians, that first chapter, and notice verses 3 to 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings that are evidently in the heavenlies and were there. At what time, I don't know, but they were there and are there. Now, according as he has chosen us in him. Now, all of those spiritual heavenly blessings that were in Christ, and you'll understand by that, then actually when Jesus himself was manifested, apart from his theophonic form, he literally paid the price for that. You understand what I'm saying? That's why the heavens are purified with the better blood. The blood of Christ. Now it says, according as God hath chosen us in himself before the foundation of the world. Now that's an era or a period of time that Brother Branham told us of in that he claimed, and I believe he did it, literally revealed to us by the revelation of God himself in the pillar of fire, those mysteries that were there, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love, having predestinated us. Now you're going from a sperm or a germ seed, an attribute, looking down to the full gestation period. Now remember, gestation with Jesus was in several brackets. The word begotten is used in several ways, one of which is begotten from amongst the dead. And at that time, he reached the fullness of what he could possibly reach except for position. And remember, there's another period of gestation going on now, when he shall come forth with all things under his feet. Now, when it's handed back to the Father, it's not lessened at all. Are you following me? I know it's a little bit rough, because I'm not just using my notes. I'm going as thoughts come to me. But you understand what we're saying. There is a period of time before the foundation of the world. A pre-existence. Not even an embryonic form, but you might call it an embryonic form, on the grounds that the seed was sown for it. And there's a period in there that we know nothing of, but Jesus knew plenty of. And it tells us right here all about it. We give great praise unto God, thanksgiving and blessing, which really can't turn loose until under the seals opening, which they have opened. Blessed be God who hath blessed us. In other words, it's a two-way street. Return blessing to God for his blessings. Now, that's one reason Brother Branham liked a lot of shouting in his meetings, because he was bringing the meat of the hour, which was energizing, stimulating, and completely life-reversing, and bringing to a complete fruition, fulfillment. He liked the people to respond by shouting, and I believe that that's good. I'm not against it. If you hear something that's really blessed your soul, you're not forbidden to shout in these meetings, although you know that really I prefer an inward shout, and you go out and shout it out here somewhere. You got life, you see. Now notice, all the spiritual blessings in the heavenlies were in Christ. So therefore, whatever God had, he placed in him, and they are attainable to us through that one. That's why he became mediator. Okay, according. Now, it's according as he did all of this before the foundation of the world. Now, the point is, what did he do? What was going on? And Brother Branham, being a prophet, he said he was able to bring out mysteries which were before the foundation of the world, which mysteries positively he brought out as we came like Jesus identically, but in our own manner allotted to us, according to our own status, according to our own times, all of which you will notice hinge upon predestination. There is an ultimate which is already in view by God, and which shall certainly be fulfilled in and through us, that we should be holy. Well, now you'll notice right there that lets you know there's a monkey wrench thrown into something. Because if the tree be holy, the fruit's holy. If the root's holy, the tree is holy. If the seed is holy, the plant's holy. So he's letting you know here there's going to be a a time in here where God's children, certainly allowed by him, but disallowed as to another destination, he would see that they came back to where they were. You follow what I'm saying? Because that's right. See? In love, having predestinated us. Now, you people are not only men losing your hair, the women are. How many got all your teeth? Every single one. Well, I've got every single one that I paid for. Plus about a dozen of my own. Four in the upper kind of holds the upper plate in real good until they fall out. I was just thinking the other day I may go and get me an implant if it gets too bad. Your face can look all black for 6 weeks, but as long as you can chew, who cares about a black face? That's black and blue and red and green and spots also. Well, the thing is this. None of us like our degenerating bodies, the aches, the pains, the discomfort. Where is it said? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? This love in Ephesians here. And love in predestined us. What predestined you? Tribulation, distress, persecution, and famine, and nakedness, and peril, and sword, and slaughtering, and a life that we don't like too well, and we're afraid of the next one maybe, and death, and angels, and principalities, and present things, and past things, and future things, and God knows what. Russia's arrived. She's a real democracy. The UFOs have come with the foreign invaders. So we know what creatures are going to hit us next. Creatures. What kind of creatures? I can tell you some creatures are being created right now. They're germs and bugs. They're destroying the people. The more you get injected, the more you're going to lose your immune system. Kids are born crazy, and they get on drugs, and their parents take dope. You haven't got, this world hasn't got a chance. But it said God did it in love. All of this that you and I look at, God did in love. And it's manifested right to the point of the Noah building the ark to raise us living above the tribulation 3.5 years and coming back in that same blessed ark with all the others living too. It's marvelous. Now, we said here now, let me go back. I wish I didn't talk so much. All these thoughts come. He'd get you out of here before 4 o'clock. Now, those mysteries from before the foundation that we're learning about, in part at least as I see it, are actually covenant promises of God. That God extended Torah toward us while we were, as stated by Paul, in God and sidetracked, interrupted through Eve to be brought back by Christ. Where everybody can feel good about himself again. All right. It says here, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. So there's a perfect acceptation of God. That's why it says, Jesus is not ashamed to call us brethren, because though he didn't skunk up, we did. He didn't mess up, we did. We lied, he didn't. We were guilty and he wasn't. But he's not ashamed because we're one source. Now, you'd never believe that ordinarily, but that's a mystery. That's one of those mysteries that Brother Branham could come and say from before the foundation of the world, you at this time, a last day bride, will find someday that you never were out of God's salvation. You just thought you were And a certain day that you said you were saved, you'll find you always were saved. As John said, the seed of God can't sin. Now, it can disbelieve until it's lined up. In the sense of the fact, there's no such thing as sin until you're confronted with the law. So, therefore, when you're confronted by a word which is the law of God, the way of God, there could be no such sin imputed to anybody until you come face to face. Now, God does not impute sin even to the one who sins. Blessed is the man to whom God will not impute iniquity. So therefore, Brother Branham said, you were tricked, you were tricked into this thing, and these are the things you're looking at way back before there was a speck of stardust, and they lie in the covenants. Now, that's what I say they do. Now, you can disagree. I don't know Brother Branham actually said that any place, but from what Brother Branham told us, especially in Melchizedek, in the future home, I have come to this understanding. Brother Branham, I don't believe for one minute was ordained of God to reach back into eternity and tell us one thing that we couldn't find in the Scripture. That's why I am finding this here to my satisfaction. And I wasn't even looking for it. Covenants came to me somehow, blood, everlasting covenant. I just began looking at covenants. This is what I arrive at. I arrive at the covenants understood through the seven church age mystery revealed to us those things which were not known from before the foundation world. In other words, we were part and parcel of it and could only know now. I don't believe there's anybody in all of religious history, spiritual history, taught us what Brother Branham taught us. It wasn't that it wasn't there. It's just that they couldn't bring it to the people. Now, you will notice that this is absolutely something we have no remembrance of when we were back there. All the morning stars sang together, the sons of God came together. But you will notice this covenant was also in Christ. We read it in verses 3 and 5. Having had its prime origin in God, and therefore we see as stated in 2 and 3, verses 2 and 3, messages that truly a great principle, a great covenant principle came into proper, you might say, or its rightful position that God ordained by reason of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, let me just read it again so you'll understand. Here they were. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is blessed with all spiritual blessings. Now, He places them where they're at, through the mediatorship of the medium of Jesus, according as He has chosen us in before the foundation of the world. Now, you couldn't have it unless you're in Him. And you were predestinated to the placing of children, the adoption of sons, by Jesus Christ Himself, according to God's good pleasure, and the pleasure of Jesus had to be there with it. They had to be one. To the praise, the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted and beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, and so on and so on. Now, what we're going to look at here then is that these covenants, which were way back there, that contain the mysteries that we now know, are really what you would call, how would you call it? A prophetic destiny. You go back, and even before the foundation of the world, there were prophetic destinies, and I call them prophetic because though written at a specific time, nothing came of them until God was ready for it. Now, to get the picture, we're going to study concerning Jesus. And I hope this is a lot clearer than mud to you this morning, because it should be. It's very, very interesting. Very vital. Let's go to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and we'll read 5 to 7. Notice, wherefore, when He cometh into the world, that's amongst mankind, the cosmos, this world system, He saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, thou hadst no pleasure. Now notice, that's what was said relative to the time of Jesus taking on a human body. Now this would be at that particular time. Lo, unto us a son is born. His name should be called Jesus. His name should be called Emmanuel. The same one that people recognize, the prophets recognize, God with us, Jehovah. But watch what it says in verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book wherein I am written, and it says, I do your will. You see what I'm trying to tell you? Before the birth, there was a book, and the book was written. Now, let's go to Hebrews 9, 11 to 15. But Christ being come and a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of bulls and goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ass and heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctify through the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from the dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he's the mediator of a new testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression that run to the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. In other words, every single one of God's children would come under the blood of this one who, through the eternal Spirit, brought this particular means to pass for the people. Now, you see what we read in the book, it is written. This is some of what was written concerning him and his personage. Now, let's go to the fifth chapter. We're going to work backwards. 5 to 10. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, he that said. Now notice, he that said concerning what was written in a book. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Another place. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh offered up prayers and supplication, with strong crying and tears, and he was able to save him dead, and yet was heard in that he feared. Though he was son, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him, called of God, and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now he's called what was written. He did what was written. He came according to it. Now if you want to just hold your fingers there, I'll control scripture back here. Psalm 139, I think it is, and 16. I might read it in a better place than this, but I'm going to read it anyway. And we'll refer back to it, perhaps. 16, thine eyes did see my substance being yet unperfect, not coming to a complete conclusion, see. And in thy books all were written, in countenance were fashioned, when there was nothing there. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is their sum. Let's read a little bit further. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Now, he's telling you right there, the predestinated sovereign plan of God, which came into complete being according to the purpose as it was in Christ Jesus. You follow what I said? Now, he said here, you are a priest. Now, put it all together. Just keep putting it together. Well, I'm putting it together. As you do so, let's go back to Hebrews, the first chapter. 1-3. God, who in many parts in many ways, in time past spake unto the fathers in the prophets, hath in these last days, that's right down here, again, spoken unto us in Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the ages. That's concerning all the bride and all the others, who being the outreigning of his glory and the expression of his substance and upholding all things by the word of his power. Now you see what you're looking at there is this one that came forth from God, and we'll get to the actual scripture for it. He was predestinated according to what lay in God, and God evidently, when this one came forth, this day have I begotten thee, put in a book concerning those thoughts. And the time came, they were spoken and brought forth and manifested. That's what Brother Branham brought out. He said, a word is a thought expressed. And we are looking at the thoughts of God expressed. And here lay there back there, this tremendous plan, and we see Jesus in his full expression and the knowledge of it as he came forth. Now, you and I simply don't have that. Now, let's go to Hebrews 2:9-18. But we see Jesus. Now, who do you see Jesus? Who being the outreigning of his glory and the expression of his substance and upholding all things by the word of his power, made a little lower than even the angels that were to worship him. Now, they couldn't worship him any longer. They'd come and minister, but they didn't worship. Crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Now, that's a very strange thing right there, isn't it? We see Jesus made a little lower than the angels, suffering a death, crowned with glory, that he by the grace of God should date every man. Now, who is this crowned with glory and honor? That's this one right back here in the third verse, being the outreigning of his glory and the express image of his substance. And with it, because it is couched in this language, understand that through this process, he receives a far greater glory than he ever could have had retaining what he did have. You understand what I'm saying? If he hadn't have suffered, he wouldn't have been first base. Now, that's why you and I have to learn to suffer. And learn to understand that the part of predestination lies in that particular area which we are talking about. Now, let's keep reading. For it became him. Now, it became him. It was becoming to him. It was complementary to him. See? As he would be complementary to God, coming out of God, so what was coming out of here was complementary to him. In other words, he did not step down when he stepped down. He stepped up. Like the old preacher said about the young punk. Is he'd have gone up the way he came down, he'd have come down the way he went up. See, that's what you're looking at. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory to make the captain of salvation perfect through sufferings. Now it's becoming to God and becoming to Christ because they're one. Now then, actually, then whatever becoming to Christ at this time is becoming to us because we are one. And we should be getting more and more into this by the light that lies in the word of this hour, because it's written in the book. in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. There's a perfection that comes through suffering, even this only begotten Son of God, and we too are into it. For both he that sanctifies and they are sanctified are all of one source, for which shame, cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I'll declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Now notice, because he stood with what was written in the book. Now if he hadn't stood with what was written in the book, he never would have done what was written in the book. Because you never do. There's no way. And again, I'll put my trust in him again. Behold, I in whom the children of God have given me. And right on down it says, he took on not the nature of angels. He became one of the seed of Abraham. It behooved him in all things made like to his brethren, that he might be a merciful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Whose people? God's people. For in that he hath himself been suffered temptation, he is able to help those who are tempted. Now let's go to Philippians, the second chapter, which we've already talked about, without actually saying it. The fifth verse, that this mind being you is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not a prize to grasp and retain to be equal with God, because he was. The first son is it. He emptied himself, became of no reputation, took on himself the form of a servant, was made the likeness of men, and being found in fashion of man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, wherefore God had highly exalted him and given him name above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Right in that book was written, there is a name reserved for you. That's why you and I get new names that nobody knows. There's a name reserved. And that name always was in existence. It's not something coming into existence. It's something in the foreknowledge of Almighty God. Now, Philippians 2, 5 to 11 is based on John 17 and 5. Remember that, because he says here he set aside that glory. And John 17 and 5 says, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now, here's a great picture here. People then, knowing the truth of the pre-existence that Christ had, with all of that glory, with a complete scriptural dissertation set out before him that he read in that book. Now you talk about God taking his finger and writing on stone for Moses. God took his finger and he wrote in that book, literally volumes. And Jesus had access to that book. And in that access, he said, yes, I will do exactly what is set forth because I see what is ahead. Now, we've had only a glimpse, you know, of what lies ahead. But here's where our faith is. Can we stay with this word and what is incumbent upon us by faith in Jesus Christ? And the answer is yes, because we believe that he is risen. And even today he's on the throne. It's not at the right hand anymore. It's actually on the throne, because since the seals were ripped off, he handed the book back. The one on the throne in Revelation 5 came down to Revelation 10 and 1. And the Lamb is actually on the throne. According to Revelation 3:21, he says, and he that overcometh, I'll grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcome and sitting now with my Father in his throne. Now, from these thoughts, we see a definite role or plan, a rule of plan, set forth clearly by the prophet as revealed in the Word. Number one, there is a sovereign plan of Almighty God which God knew, and he shared with nobody. And he said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it my own way, and this is it. Number two, it is written of God. When was it written? I don't know. I don't have a clue. It was written before the foundation of the Word, before the speck of stardust, far as I know. Number three, it is spoken of God. When? I don't know. But he does it as is necessary. Number four, it is manifested. When? I don't know. But at the right time. But Brother Branham told us. Sovereign plan, written word, spoken of God, manifestation. Okay, let's see the sovereignty. Let's see the sovereignty of God. Let's go back to John 16, 27 to 28. Now he says here, for the Father himself loved you because you've loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Now, I want you to notice something. That same word is issued forth from, which is what we saw in Hebrews 1 and 3, the outraying of God. An actual coming forth, a materialization of a substance, as I look at it. Let's go to John 17:21. John 17:21 says, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Okay? You could compare that then with John 1:18, and I don't pretend to have all the answers. But it says in John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father hath declared him. In other words, led him forth by words and led him into full manifestation. Because he was the one that revealed the Father. So you're looking at here a sovereign precept, as I say, is in the mind of God and was with God as to the persons not yet expressed, but their history according to what God wants is all written out. It's all there. Now let's see the writing of it. We go to Isaiah. I beg your pardon, Psalms. I always want to get to Isaiah. Why, I don't know. Guess I'm used to Isaiah 40. But Psalm 40, in verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written to me. Now, he could say that, but we couldn't. Couldn't do it. Let's go back to Revelation, chapter 13. Verse 8, all that dwell upon this worship, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Now notice the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world because he could not have been a part of it until there was a world. He's going to get his body from it. Okay, now what about the Lamb's book? That was written after God had marshaled his sovereignty into position and accounted within himself those who would come forth. The very children of God. Now let's look at Psalm 2. And in Psalm 2 and verse 7, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Now he said it. That's right. There had to be a book before any writing. Now there's a writing, now there's a saying. Now let's go to John 5 and 39. Search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. What's in the book I am. In God, in a book, spoken, manifested. Just the way the prophet taught it. Nobody else understands these mysteries. While we're dwelling on this thought of sequence of God's plan, we might consider the rapture. To do so, we go along way, way back. And we start over there in Psalm 40, where we were. In Psalm 40, let's read then 6-8. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears thou hast opened. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written in me. I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. All right? I delight to do your will. Now, this is the first scripture I'm using to take us all the way back. Now, with that, we go to Isaiah chapter 53, and we learn about this will. And the will is, of course, I won't read it all, 10 and 11. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper. Now that's what it says in Ephesians. And that said of the group of people that were in God. to receive all the blessings of God through a certain channel. He shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify the many, as though they'd never done it. And he shall bear their iniquities. Okay? Now, let's go to Psalm 16. (clears throat) 8 to 11. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Ha ha. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Okay. Now let's go all the way back to Revelation. And the first chapter, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, from amongst the dead, the firstborn from among them. See, there it is. And the prince of the king, even the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and made us kings and priests unto God and even his Father, to him be glory, dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now with that, we're going over here. Well, we're going back to Hebrews again. Now notice priests and kings, the whole bit. Hebrews 5:5-6. So also Christ glorified not himself, he may be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And also said, I'm going to bring you forth amongst mankind. Also said, I'm bringing you out of the dead. In another place, you're a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. All right. Very good. Let's go back to Psalm 45 now. See, we got to go back and forth to see these things. And it's 6 and 7. And it says, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Okay. Let's go back here now. We're into Colossians now, 1:15-19. Who is the image of the invisible God? That's the actual coming of the substance. The firstborn of every creature. For by him are all things created that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, or principalities, or powers, or things that are created by him and for him. For he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For in him all the fullness of the Godhead was pleased to dwell. Okay, now see where he is. Now compare this with Ephesians 1:17-23. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what's the hope of his calling, and what the riches of his glory, of the glory of his inheritance in the saints happens to be. And what is the, and also what's the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Now listen, what happened at that time? His body wouldn't corrupt. You following your scripture? This is for no other age but this age. Amen. The baptism with the Holy Ghost has run out. Justification, sanctification, baptism. You're back to the baptizer. You're back to headship. So, your body won't corrupt. You'll be changed. He'll bring the dead out of the ground, even as God took him out of the ground without corrupting, set him in his right hand, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that's named not in this world, but that which is to come, and put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all the church, which is his body, so all things are under her feet. Right? Now you understand what I'm doing. Well, let's go back to Revelation chapter 5. (clears throat) 5:8-10. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints, and sung a new song, saying, You are worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, as redeemed us by God, to redeem us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and people and tongue and nation, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now, what am I trying to show you? I'm trying to show you that every single thing about Jesus, in his death and into his rapture, into what he did, was already written, taken from the mind of God, spoken, and manifested. And you and I, as a bride, are linked to it. Because it's in him, and we follow identical to him. See? Okay. Now watch. Let's get a pretty picture right here and get it right now. Because the dead are thoroughly identified with Jesus coming forth from the ground in an uncorrupted body, but we, the living, are identified with Mount Transfiguration, where Christ, not even dead, was shown in a glorified body. We're identified in it. You follow what I'm trying to get you this morning? Trying to get you a perfect picture of what was before the foundation, the mysteries, the covenants. And we come exactly like Jesus in our own order. Now, it is written, but it must be spoken. Now listen, what is written? Okay, you ready for it? You know what it is without me telling you. It's 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verse 16. Well, let's read. Start with verse 13. Now, I would not have you to be your brethren concerning them which are asleep and you're living, but you don't sorrow for them as those that have no hope. They're going to be right back shortly sitting on your doorstep. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also asleep in Jesus will God bring forth with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, the presence, which is 1 Corinthians 15, shall not in any way take any precedence over them which are asleep. There simply isn't any difference whether you die or you don't die. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now, brother, sister, let's understand this. This is written. And that's all it is. Now, Paul writes it out and says there's no precedence, there's no nothing. But he says the Lord will descend with a shout. The Lord will come down. Now, listen, it's got to be spoken. If it's written, it's got to be spoken. That's why Brother Branham three times on the rapture tape says it's spoken. Why? Because it was written. Paul doesn't explain this. He sets it forth as from the mind of God written in the book. And in the book it says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. What in the name of common sense is a shout? It doesn't even say, according to Greek, the one descending is the one screaming. Yet in Hebrews 12 it says the one from heaven is going to speak again. And when he does, the consuming fire of shaking begins to take place. Now that's the Bible. Then it says the voice of the archangel. What in the name of heaven is that? What is the trump of God? We never knew till 1965 on December 4th in Yuma, Arizona, in the Holiday Inn, what it was to be spoken. It was simply written. Men thought they spoke it. And men today still don't realize the written word must be spoken. And it's going to take God himself to do the speaking. And a man can be there bringing it, which is exactly what Moses and Paul did and any prophet does. And the one in Revelation 10 that's here, with the one that comes down in Revelation 10 and 1, the one in 10 and 7, he's the one that is given to speak the mysteries. The mysteries which were not known from before the foundation of the world, because this was already there. I read it to you in the Old Testament. And Brother Branham, had he not said in the Melchizedek, We come just like him. We'd all been saying, well, and listen, there are people that still don't know what that means. You say, Brother Dale, do you know what it means? I'm telling you what I believe it means, and you can do what you want. I don't have thus saith the Lord. And don't you hang on my words as though I have, because I don't. I'm trying to tell you what I see from the Word, what Brother Branham brought us, and why he had a right to stand up there. Not a big mouth smart aleck who got carried away with the grandeur of a ministry. So he began shooting his face off. And said, I'm telling you things now. They were not known from before the foundation of the world. That's you. Look at me, Kentucky hillbilly, with drunken parents and God knows what. Now that's the way people treat him. I don't. I looked at his statement, and I wonder what he's driving at. And a little thought did cross my mind. Is he got little language a little bit too far out? Not at all. This mystery was not known to us and could not be known, and everyone that fools with it goes completely haywire. This is what was written. And now that it is spoken, and the speaking was the shout, which was the message, which was the chrusma of putting the church in order and in subjection. And there can be no possible church order without a governing word. And that governing word is the obedience of faith. In other words, unless it's a truly revealed faith, there's no such thing as an obedience. That's why you've got everybody running back to organization, and everybody's still scared of Russia, and we're not the least bit scared. We're scared of the church. Because shortly the church will say, listen, nations can't do it. Politics can't do it. We will do it. And they'll do it. And God knows how stupid they are. Too. Stupid ignoramus, a complete idiot. So controlled by the devil, he's destroying all those poor Africans' jobs by demanding more and more embargoes. And the poor blacks come over here and say, don't you see what you're doing with Tutu and his gang? You're taking away our jobs. What does South Africa do? They buy up the American industry for a pittance. If I was over there, I'd laugh at stupid America too. Self-righteous criminals who are controlled by the Church of Rome, who overlook their own sins as though they're nothing in hearts about the sins of the world. Who killed the Indians? Americans did it. Who killed the Protestants? Catholics did it. Same stinking system, Revelation 13. And one day we're going to have a pope and watch what he does. Oh, I love it. It's coming. It's coming. I hear the marching of thunder both from God and the enemy. And I see a smokeless victory, but not without blood. There'll be no smoke of battle. But there'll be blood flowing to the horses' bridles. You see, you're vindictive. Then God's vindictive. You're stupid. Sorry for you. But not too stupid. I'm to rejoice over Babylon falling. She's controlled by the devil. You think I'm happy how the devil's controlled me with my inordinate affections and things? You drop dead if you're that stupid. I've got no time for you. I don't buy your sweetness. Flies die in honey more than they die in vinegar. The old saying, you can catch more flies with honey than vinegar. I'm not out to catch flies. I don't know about you. I don't be mean about anything, but look, I'm fed up to here. Now, I've already told you, if I've got to go to the lake of fire, I'm supposed to go to the lake of fire and get over it. Not being defined against God. The thing is, who wants it? Who wants your kids suffering day by day and we can't do a thing for them? Who wants you gasping for breath, which you'll be doing shortly, and you can't do a thing about it? Is that nice? Is that what you want? You say, that's lovely?
What's the word of God for you? Nothing. No politician can solve it. And the prophet is gone. You know, your last contact with God is gone. There won't be another one. Jesus isn't sitting on the mercy seat. He's on the throne. It's over. Or that's a lie. What is it that never told a lie, that never made a mistake? I'll tell you, he went to this book, and I'm trying to get to the book with you this morning. I think we're doing a fairly good job. I don't know. Listen, watch what it says in Hebrews 12. Want to do, wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the besetting sin of unbelief that easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Brother Branham, I'm worried about that. Your faith going down the drain because your patience is wearing thin. What about the guy, the fellow Moore out there in Phoenix? He was a great one. Oh, Brother Branham is coming back with the tent. Maybe he is. I don't understand that. I hope he does. I'd love him to come back way ahead of time and talk with us. I don't care what he does, long as he comes back. At least I get to see him. I argued anybody. When 77 rolled by and he wasn't back, the man threw all his quotes in the garbage, then turned on Brother Branham. I don't care if 1,000 dates in minds men were set. Brother Branham never said he was coming back. He said it was prediction, not prophecy. If you can't read English and understand, I'm sorry for you. Just don't waste my time. Amen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that started it. He's the one that finishes it. When did Paul have the author come on the road to Emmaus? When did the author of faith talk to him in the desert? When did the finisher come? Right there. Same one that started it. He needed a prophet, then he needs a prophet now. Going down to verse 18. For you're not come to the mountain that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness, darkness, sound of trumpet, and so on and so on. But where are you come to? Verse 22, but you come to Mount Zion, unto the city living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and numerous company of angels, the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. To God, the judge of all spirits, to God, the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect. Notice that. And Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. There you got it right there. You're coming right to the man himself. Right to New Jerusalem. Right to the millennium. Now watch what it says. Because you are there, refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not or refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall they not escape or return from him that speaks. The one from heaven. Doesn't say speak it, but the one from heaven. That's Revelation 10 and 1. Whose voice back there then shook the earth, earthquake and the whole bit. But now he says, once more I shake heaven and earth. The once more signifying the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things that cannot be shaken may remain. And you know right there you're talking about two systems, the system of God and the system of the enemy. So the word of God becomes crystallized, solidified, and literally, yes, petrified or calcified. There's not a word called rockified, but it's the same thing. Turns right into an immovable, impregnable rock. And the rest is going to be completely shaken. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved, let us have grace. That's what Brother Branham worried about. Whereby we may serve God, except with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. That's Malachi 4 and 1. All right. Now, in Malachi 4 and 1, let's go back and look at it. And that is also 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 7 to 10. Okay, here's Malachi. For behold, the day cometh, it'll burn as an oven. And all the proud, all the do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up. And the Lord of hosts, saith the Lord of hosts. Notice he says it now. That's written. So there's got to be then a complete saying of that which was written. Brother Branham said it. But unto you that fear my name shall there be a rapture. Healing in the wings is immortality. At that time, there's going to be a rapture. See? Verse 1 is the consuming fire. And it does not let up. No. It doesn't. It is put to one side in the interim of the millennium and takes up at the white throne because the same fire says neither root nor branch. Annihilation. Do you realize right now everything you're looking at and all the people out there sinning against God and pulling all these wicked things, speaking in tongues and doing everything despicable? And there's not a more hip-a-rod Pentecostal talking tongues man than James Watts. He's a big shot. Sell you and your grandkids right down the river. Money under the table, everything what? I don't afraid or say or pull it because they're writing every single paper. People call themselves Christians. You want to see that stay here? Well, God knows you. God doesn't. It's going to go. And it's already started. How has it started? Pre-tribulation plagues. Number one, it has to be sex because idolatry is always counted adultery. How many high school kids got AIDS right now? Of all the testing in the greater areas like Miami, L.A., New York, 1% or better. And they figure to reach college level, which is about 3%, which is about the same as the prisons. And there's no stopping the heterosexuals because there's no way you can stop the virus. What are you doing, to get out of here? Or do you think you're going to invent something that's going to stop a plague? I got news, you're not going to stop it. How many clinics say we're going to do it by ozone? Go ahead, by injection of oxygen. They say they're doing it in Germany or other countries. They say they're curing it, but they're not. Because they still won't realize the fact that I realized even with yeast infection, it mutates. So you drop dead in your stupidity. There isn't going to be a cure. And science is doing everything aggressively to keep the mutations, and where it won't mutate, they will splice. Tell me, are we going to get away spraying our strawberries with, what is that they spraying with, Rusty? You know, they made it. It's a genetic deal that did it. I'll remember it later on when I don't need it. You think that's not going to backfire? You can't fool with nature. You can't fool with God. Brother Branham said, God is in nature. The rules never change. You can read Revelation chapter 21 to 15 yourself, and you will see that what I said is true. What has started now does not cease. It's set aside for further sanctification of the millennium. All right. There is nothing that has been and will be, but is under covenant by a sovereign God, who interposes himself or fulfills his own word of promise. As the Lord himself said, or the Lord himself does. Now at the end time, we see how perfectly this all comes together in Revelation 5, 1 to 7. And here is the mighty one on the throne, written already, future prophecy, there it is, concrete, not spoken, and could not be until Brother Branham came back with the angelic messengers, and each one was an embodiment of the Holy Ghost. I don't understand language. Revelation 5, 1 to 7 comes down to Revelation 10, 1 to 7, the mighty one that comes down, with the thunders that were sealed up, so that Revelation 10 and 7 is given the job at the time that that one comes down to reveal all mysteries, and all mysteries concerning the gospel part is wound up in the seven thunders. Okay. Revelation 10 and 7 is Revelation 22 and 10. Seal not the things of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. What time is at hand? What time is at hand? Well, it tells you the time for the separation of the righteous from the wicked. The judge of all the earth not destroying the righteous with the wicked. Behold, I come quickly. I'm Alpha and Omega. Blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and enter into the city without all these other people. Now, you can see at this particular time, the age of the bride ends. Therefore, the church is purged, the Jews are purged, the earth is purged, and the sons are ready for the new heaven and the new earth. Now, nothing would be manifested or known of God without these great covenant promises. Nor would we know as we are known according to Revelation 10 and 7. Because under that, those thunders positively come the perfection as outlined in 1 Corinthians 13 and 9. We see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, because that which is perfect is come, there are no more parts left. Now, brother, sister, people are sitting on the fence and wondering if something is going to come. I want to tell you, nothing is going to come except when he comes back from the dead. And what is he going to do? I don't know. But if he follows the complete pattern of Jesus, he will speak to us those things concerning the kingdom, and he will even drink with us. And we will know who it is by the things that he does. Where does this take us? As far as God wants to. I don't have the answers. But I'm just telling you, I don't discount anything what I see in the Word. But I do discount people's interpretation, unless they can back it. Don't come and tell me, well, I'm Brother Branham's nephew. I'm his uncle. He told me something. I don't care what he told you. The Branham family is not the bride of God. Either his wife, children, or relatives. He himself didn't know who they were. He himself wondered about his own children. So don't talk to me about anything anybody said. Let's find what Brother Branham said on the tapes and bring it right to the Word of God. And you can do it. And when I'm in doubt, I simply voice my doubts where I'm at, because I don't know. No wonder Brother Branham said, I, the Lord, have planted on several times and watered it. Watch over it. Lest any man pluck it out of my hand. That's a composite of different statements. From beginning to end, it has been God, and so it will be. Genesis, in the beginning, God. And 1 Corinthians 15, 28, God become all in all. It's all God. And as a bride, we were and are and will be a part of the genes and thoughts of God, already in a book, already spoken, and waiting the finalization, which we are now going into. And you can read it in the book of Galatians and in the book of Revelation. It is the New Jerusalem. It's a great joy to be a part of that word made manifest. That's right. How glad are you today? That word written in heaven in the last book of life, we're a part of it. We are glad, Brother Branham said, the Son of Man manifested in human flesh is the bride in every age. And we are a part of that Son of Man revealed in flesh by the prophet of God in Malachi 4. Now, I'm just telling you one thing he said. The Son of Man revealed in human flesh is the bride in every age. That's what he told me personally when I said, Brother Branham, what do you mean when you say the bride revealed in human flesh? And I don't even know any place he ever said it. Can't find a one tape. Evidently some conversation. And he said, Lee, it is the bride in every age. And what you see right there is what we are. Come under it. What you see in his ministry, the unfailing God. You can see right there what I had been talking about when Brother Branham said, mysteries which were not known from before the foundation of the world. But they were there. We didn't know about them. We know now. Someone has to be 1 Corinthians 15:51. Changing from the physical to the spiritually led body. Changed body. The covenant-keeping God is keeping His covenants and revealing them as He keeps them. He is keeping His word, and Himself is one, and we are one with that word. We're like Brother Branham said, the thoroughbreds. Why, he said, the poor old jackass, he doesn't know he's mammy and pappy. He said, he's all messed up. But he said, you get a thoroughbred. He said, well, he's got a genealogy way, way back. You can trace him all the way back. He said, that's the way we were. We know our ancestry. We know where we came from. We know where we are going. And I'm going to tell you something. If we're not part of it, we still know where somebody came from and somebody's gone. Brother Branham said, if we're not bright, there's a bright out there somewhere, and you better believe it. He said, I'm not standing away. It is today we know the mysteries unknown to us before the foundation of the world, as we were a part of God's plan and a part of His covenant, but we can't remember anything of them. Now, just a minute. Here's some flowers. They cannot cross-pollinate. There's no way. There's only one pollen they receive. Here's a womb. Can only receive one kind of seed. Try any seed you want. Now remember, our womb is the womb of the mind. There's only one fertilization that'll take hold in this hour. And that's the revealed word of God for this hour, for the manifestation of that which was written and spoken. We were in Him. Members written in a book. Spoken for our particular time. And in such a position that only those of us who, as Brother Branham said, could receive that seed. Any other seed goes right on back. They look and say, well, hey, how come you can't be Trinitarian? How come you can't be this? How come you can't be? Because there's no way I can receive that kind of seed. No way. See, it wasn't in the beginning. And Brother Branham said, if you didn't have representation then, you don't have it now. You see why the world says million now living will never die? We say, who are you trying to kid? What millions are you talking about? As it was in the days of Noah. 8 people. 1 out of 8 going to make a bride. Is that 1 out of 8 people here? Don't ask me. I don't know what the prophets meant. But he cut it right down. He said, they tell me 10,000 people believe this message. Got to shake them off. Today they said there's 250,000. What 250,000? I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm just trying to lay it on the table. Look, I can fix it. I'm not trying to say, you listen to Lee Vane, you got it made. You follow him, you got it made. Hey, if that were the truth, and it couldn't be. I'm like Harold Marcondes. Somebody said, hey, he said, you got to be under such and such man's ministry to be, make the rapture. He said, you tell me that man's name and I'll sell everything I got and get there. Because I want to make it. And the guy shut up. You won't make it just because you sit or listen to me. Read a prophet's book. You got to be in the beginning. And that seed's got to match up. And you won't put anything to one side. You say, hey, I'm looking all the time to see everything the prophet said brought right out. Now, I'm not going to do it for you. I don't have to. Nobody does. There's something in you makes you to know that this is it and that's that. And then it goes beyond that. It goes to the place where you know I'm going to make it. Yep. Yep. Oh, it's a little difficult. Abraham had a tough, he even got changed back to a young man and woman. He wasn't quite sure he would make it, because he said, now you tell him you're my sister. How stupid. How ridiculous to get that far and still have funny feelings, worry and doubt. So look, don't let anything come between you and your faith. Your faith is built on that, not how you feel. Not what I say, not what you say, not what anybody says, not what I do, not what anybody does, and not what you do. Depends on that. That's that passive faith I talk of. It's out of your hands. From the beginning to the end, it's out of your hands and mine. But there is a place for you and me of our own will to get like Brother Branham was said, I always do what I want. I always do something to please Him. I always want to please Him. Now, if you always want to please him, you're on the road there. But I hope you begin to see in the covenants here, brother, sister, it is a covenant God taking care of you and me, receiving what he purposed and planned and purchased through Jesus Christ. Can you, if you can believe that today and stand with it, you're on your way to Canaan land. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, again we want to thank you for your grace and mercy extended to us. The word of the Lord which you give us today, helping us to go right back to the very beginnings, as it were, which you're in you. And it does us so much good to find these things that Brother Branham said, though they were obscure, and to find they're right in line with Scripture, the very things that he said. How true the statements made, and who is this Melchizedek? Lord, where we're failing to understand all of it, and it's very difficult to understand the interplay and the movement of your own Holy Spirit, how you move in and through Christ and all these things. And the prophet using words, Lord, that I don't believe he was mixed up. I know we're mixed up. We just can't place with his mind what he was really saying any more than we can place with your mind what you're saying, unless somehow you show it to us. And Lord, if you don't want to show us some of these things, it's all right. But Father, I believe that somehow that, and I would don't know, but I could hope that all of these things, Lord, that press upon us, where we would love a further illumination, that you, Lord, because of your grace and mercy, will kindly just give us that revelation, Lord. And yet, if it's not for us, give us that revelation too, Lord, to just stay away from it. And to just stand clear and stay clear with what your word was delivered by Paul and all these revelations given by Brother Branham, who gave us the truth in such a way that we don't have to err. We can just believe it. So, Father, concerning yourself, your great Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and ourselves, and our great unity in this word, Lord, we commend ourselves to you this morning to give us a perfect spiritual oneness with you, a perfect understanding in our minds, Lord, that pervades our all of our lives from center to circumference, bringing forth the healing, O God, within our bodies, and within the framework of the bride church itself, so the love of God and this unity. Maybe it will, Lord. I don't know what you meant over there in John 17. But if there's a possibility, it's in this hour that the world may know that you were sent and loved us. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory. And above all, Lord, may it be as we recognize you as you never recognized you in your ways before. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.